Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you can probably imagine, Christmas is a very busy time in the diamond market, with many people spending big on dazzling diamond rings, bracelets, necklaces and earrings. But did you know that many people are now opting for lab-grown diamonds rather than the traditional mined mineral? Joining me to talk about this is Chris Andrews from Weir & Sons Jewellers. Chris, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you better explain to me, how do they grow diamonds in the lab?
Okay, so there's two different ways that they can be made. One is high pressure, high temperature, where they literally use an incredible amount of pressure and temperature to create the diamond from carbon. The other way, where they use a seed of a diamond, is CVD, which is chemical vapor deposition. And they essentially grow it on a tray. And that's the difference between the two.
Now, when you're growing it using the vapor deposition technique, you start with, do you have to have a natural diamond to start the whole process, a tiny little speck of diamond?
Yeah, a seed essentially. So you can either use a natural or another bit of lab, and either will do it. But at the end of the day, you get the same result from both.
Now, what is the shape of the diamond that you get from that vapor deposition? Is it kind of round? Is it square? Is it kind of shapeless?
Well, that comes into the cutting, which comes at a later stage where they take the rough and they cut it into whatever shape that they want to.
So that thing, the crystal grows kind of organically as you under the vapor deposition.
Yes, correct.
Now, tell me about the other technique then, the high pressure technique.
The high pressure, high temperature is essentially trying to replicate the same conditions that you'd find deep underground where
Millions of years to make a diamond underground and you can make it in the lab. How long does it take to make it in the lab under the high pressure, high temperature?
It depends on both. It depends on how big you want to make it. So it can take weeks to grow, but it depends on what size you're trying to grow.
Okay. And then the actual raw material for that, you say it's carbon. I mean, is it in the form of graphite or is it some sort of...
Yeah, it's essentially, that's what it is. And that's what diamonds are made from.
Carbon, and it's just a different form of carbon.
Yeah, they just shape it differently.
Now, I would suspect that certainly in the high temperature, high pressure, there's a lot of energy going in. So when we're talking about whether or not something is sustainable, I mean, how much energy goes into growing a diamond?
I don't know the exact figures, but it's a lot. A lot will go into both.
Which obviously is determining the cost of the final stone.
Yes, very much
the amount
much
of
so.
Energy that goes in. Okay, so I now have my stone, and I'm aware of the four C's, that the quality of a diamond depends on the colour, the clarity, the cut, and carats being the weight of that particular diamond. So with these, shall we say artificial? I know you don't like to call them synthetic or artificial anymore. They're called lab-grown.
Yep.
With these, how do they rate on the four C's?
You would actually, the exact same as a natural diamond. So there's no way of telling the difference between a natural and a lab grown. It's the same chemical compound.
And the cut will be done by an expert anyway.
It's done by the exact same people who are cutting the naturals. You know, they're cut the same way. So it's the same process for cutting them.
Now, what about colour? Because we know there's variation in diamonds in terms of their colour. And, you know, a jeweller will tell you, that one's cheap because it's not absolutely brilliantly clear.
Yeah.
Or it's slightly yellow or whatever it might be. So what kind of product do you get from the two techniques?
So there's a range of colours that you get, and it's the exact same as with naturals. It goes from D colour, which is the very best, all the way down to Z. And then when you get beyond that, you get into the fancy colours. So they can grow them in any colour you want.
Oh my goodness. So you can have a pink diamond.
Yep, pink, blue, whatever colour, they can make it.
So let's get down to brass tacks then. I mean, obviously mining is expensive to do. And, you know, then there is the whole story about blood diamonds coming from war zones and being smuggled out and all the rest of it. So it's a contentious enough area. But even if you go to a place where there's no war and you mine, say, in South Africa, I suppose the Kimberley diamond mine's most famous, it's expensive. You're down underground, you're taking out, you're digging and digging and digging to get maybe a relatively small amount of diamond.
Yeah, it would be expensive. And the difference is, essentially, there's a finite supply of them. So when you're looking at natural, there's a finite supply, whereas with lab, there's an infinite supply. And that partly leads into the price difference between the two. So natural is a higher price point because it's rarer.
It's rarer, yeah. It's harder to get them out of the ground than it is to grow them in the lab. What about to the consumer? What's the price variation now? If you have exactly the same clarity, colour, cut and weight?
It would be roughly sub 5% for an identical stone.
So if you were to decide you're going to spend, say, $1,000 on an engagement ring, if you were buying a natural diamond, you'd be paying $20,000 for the stone.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it really does depend on, you know, what goes in, what piece of jewellery it's sitting in. So what the mount is, because there's other considerations there like gold, platinum, things
sure.
like that.
And to the ordinary person, can they spot the difference between a lab-grown and a natural diamond?
They can't. And, you know, even experts, a lot of experts would need a machine to tell the difference.
Okay, so the ordinary person and even an ordinary jeweller would not be able to determine which is lab-grown and which is mined, because you need some sort of machine to determine what. What is different about the mined diamond? What's in there?
They fluoresce differently, essentially. So under UV light, they give off a different type of fluorescence. And there's nitrogen in them, which is seldomly found in natural diamonds. But you will find it in most lab diamonds. And this machine picks up on that, essentially.
But that's the only way?
Yeah, that's the only way.
Okay. Now, what is the attitude of people, of the customer generally, to you lab-grown? Do they just say, I'll have the big one because it's lab-grown and it's cheaper? Is that generally the attitude now?
They're very popular. I mean, a lot of people buy them for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, a lot of people just love the fact that you get a nice stone for a nice price. And, you know, they've been growing in popularity for the last 5 years and they continue to.
But you don't get that phenomenon of someone at a party saying, oh, that's a lovely ring. Yes, and it's mined. It's not lab-grown, it's mined.
I think a lot of people don't ever talk about whether it's natural or lab when they buy them.
All right. Well, obviously, now that you've told everyone about this, they're all going to be queuing up for large rocks this Christmas when they get engaged. And they won't care whether it's mined or whether it's, as long as it's big enough. That's the main thing. Chris, thank you very much for joining us. That's Chris Andrews from Weir and Sons.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.